All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we have a guest, Isabella Lubin, who's a senior program manager at Microsoft, and we're going to be talking about evolution of Teams as a platform. So welcome, Isabella, to the podcast. And maybe you can, well, I'd like you to introduce yourself and sort of maybe tell us a little bit about your journey at Microsoft, too, because you didn't start where you're at now, right?
Yeah. Great. Very happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I wish I had my red shirt. I do not. I'll have to get one. So I will have been at Microsoft for 7 years this week. So I've been at Microsoft for about 7 years. I've been in Teams for close to three of them. So when I started at Microsoft, I joined as a PM in the anti-spam team for Office 365. So I did a lot of work looking at how spam attacks and malware attacks and phish attacks were getting through our spam filtering system and what we needed to be doing to harden our service against those attacks. And I was there for about 4 years. And then I switched over to Teams to work on the IT pro team, which is where I met a lot of you, focused on things like RBAC, PowerShell, Teams lifecycle management, a lot of the ways that admins can scale their management of Teams. And then for the past year, I've been on platform. And on platform, I lead up, it's one team of PMs, but we focus on two primary areas, developer experiences and apps core. And in developer experiences, we really think about what are the right tools that developers need to onboard, build, test, and publish apps for Teams. Whether that's apps that they're publishing for their own organization or apps that they're publishing to the global store. And then on the apps core side, we focus predominantly on making sure that apps are available in new environments and new surfaces of Teams. So apps in private channels, apps in GCC, as well as making sure that admins have the right management and configuration experiences for making sure that they can really tune the Teams environment to include the apps that they want to use for their users. And let's see, you also, I have two cats and they're currently right outside the door. And usually when they hear me talking and there's a door that's blocking them from getting in, they start talking back. So you may hear them throughout today's call.
Very cat. Good. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on because a number of us have done app development on Teams. It's been really interesting to see the journey right from the beginning. And, you know, Teams has evolved so quickly. There was so much energy going into just making Teams what it is. It's nice to see the Teams platform vision start to catch up and the dev experiences catch up. And I know Microsoft is big on the low code, no code development experience. And, you know, Teams is a sort of one-stop shop for collaboration. Can you talk a little bit about what the vision is for the dev experience and the core applications and sort of where we are right now in that journey?
It's a great question. It's a very timely question. When you look at what we announced for Build, I think in general, the set of developer tooling that we had out there felt like it went very deep for kind of very specific pieces of the developer platform that you might want to go into. So how you can go really deep into messaging extensions or leverage bot framework to build out a really awesome bot. What we hadn't been focusing on really as much and where I think there's been a big need is how we get developers from any level of experience to onboard a platform and find the tools that are going to work for them and the frameworks that they want to leverage. And actually start building something out. So the focus that we had for Build was how do we meet developers where they're already working in Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code and build out scaffolding that will help them get started. But going forward, we really need to go a lot deeper on onboarding through documentation and having really clean, streamlined documentation, great testing tools so that whether you're developing an app for your own organization or, you know, publicly for the store, that you can really test and make sure that the user experience is one that you're delivering that really meets the user expectation. As well as, and I think this is one of the biggest focus areas and one that we're really looking at very closely right now, having the management and monitoring tools that you might need. So if you publish an app, even if those users are in your organization, you know who's actually using the app, you know, maybe, you know, really easily what errors they've hit, what their feedback is on the app that you've built out, so that as a developer, you can constantly fine tune the app that you've built out for those users. And so when we talk about where we are in the journey, I think what we've done so far is really put in a lot of the scaffolding that helps us build towards that experience, right? With the start of the Visual Studio and the Visual Studio Code extensions, the intent there is that we're going to start integrating things like SSO, things like Graph, make that much more modular so that both us as teams, but other teams within Microsoft, and eventually open sourcing the Visual Studio Code extension so that you could also take that and customize it for your own needs, so that we can start bringing in a lot more of these modular improvements and really build out that full-fledged developer experience.
Yeah, that's cool. And we've definitely seen more Teams apps surface everywhere right across the whole developer ecosystem. So I feel like we're probably at the beginning of the journey, but as the standards get better, the testing gets better, the certification gets better, it should all just get better. So that's awesome.
We are definitely, just to add to that, I think I joined Platform about a year ago, and it felt there at that time, like, you know, for a while there, people were saying that Teams was a startup within Microsoft. And then I joined Platform and I was like, Platform is the startup within the startup that's within Microsoft, right? Where it has to be really, really agile. And I think, you know, just in the past year, we've made huge strides towards really having a huge number of apps that are available and really putting in those more robust developer tools that help developers build out even better apps as well.
Well said.
Yeah. So, I mean, just turning towards a little bit more on, you know, we know like how fast like Teams is growing with the amount of daily active users growing and doubling since like November. You know, obviously since COVID, you know, we've seen accelerated deployments. Now that, you know, organizations or enterprises are sort of either have gone through some of the hurdles of deploying Teams or are still going through it, are you seeing, you know, organizations or enterprises pay more attention to, adopting Teams as a platform?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the interesting things is that when you have to rush your move to Teams, you can't go slowly. You can't say, okay, well, now we're going to migrate calling and then we're going to do messaging. And, you know, and 6 months from now, maybe we'll onboard to Teams. You kind of say, okay, we've got to pick up shop and move the whole thing over. And so I think that what I've observed, at least, and, you know, I think it is that we see organizations that are thinking platform first as well, because they're saying, well, this platform capability is really like this specific process is really core to my experience. So I've got to have it when I onboard to Teams. And so they have to go in with the mindset of saying, I've got to pick up this thing and bring it along with me. And every organization is absolutely at its own place. Some organizations still have their own separate business app, business process that they don't need to onboard to Teams yet. But I think we're seeing more and more that organizations are thinking of platform as one of those core capabilities that they really need to start making use of as soon as they onboard to Teams. And that's been, you know, it's been a really exciting time for all of us to help others. But obviously, you know, I think it's the most exciting thing for me, at least, is how do we make sure that the work that we're doing really helps in an ongoing pandemic? Because there's huge loss of life right now. This is a terrible situation for everyone to be in. And so I think some of the experiences that we're starting to see of how schools can move their online learning over through Teams and use the apps that are critical for them for online learning, and how hospitals are able to leverage Teams for a lot of the triage and business processes, I think all of those success stories are the ones that really drive the platform team going, because they're ways of seeing how this work actually helps everyone learn how to work in a very, very difficult time.
That's great. No, it's good to see, you know, how easily adaptable it is into different verticals and different organizations. Sure.
Yeah,
you were mentioning earlier on that, you know, over the last year has been a huge amount of effort and changes in the kind of the dev experiences, the app ecosystem. You know, it's evolved, you know, quite a bit, even just the beginning of Teams. But yeah, definitely I've seen it, you know, in the last year, quite a bit of effort, you know, being able to do like permission policies and, you know, even just the governance around apps. What are some of the powerful scenarios that you're seeing enterprises kind of roll out or build out during COVID? I was going to say like the last 6 months, but I bet you, you know, even just in the last couple months, you know, as people are mass onboarding to the Teams platform.
It's a great question, and it varies so much based off of vertical and what their own needs are. I think some of the things that have been most exciting for us to see, because they see it, we can see like so clearly how they impact everyone's immediate life is a lot of the stuff around online learning. Yeah. You know, we have coworkers who are saying, for the first time, my kid actually understands what I'm doing because they're using Teams in the classroom today. And so they have to leverage the apps for online learning as well. But again, some of those scenarios of how healthcare, different healthcare parts of the healthcare industry are moving over to Teams and bringing their own business processes whether that's patient triage, or whether that's just, you know, tracking the availability of medical equipment, those types of scenarios, I think are all things that we're starting to see more and more of.
Yeah, I mean, the Microsoft Bookings app being available in Teams, I'm seeing that like every scenario think of, from like booking Stampede breakfast and, you know, picking up mini donuts and some of the Calgary Stampede stuff that's going on right now, to, you know, having limits of how many students can come to the office when they think about, or into this classroom when they think about going back into, you know, the campus.
Yeah.
You know, even just the mobile apps, you know, apps being developed and Teams being exposed to the Teams mobile client, and seeing a lot of apps around like the Get Started template on GitHub, where you can bring the Microsoft Learning Pathways to drive adoption within the Teams client. So amazing work that's happening on the platform side.
And I think that's one of the great calls. You know, we have the app templates that are meant to be these great getting started points. But I think another one of the main goals we have is that the core tooling itself should be so streamlined that whatever your scenario is, if you were able to build out an app for that in a different framework, you should be able to build it onto Teams. And so making sure that the onboarding process is really, really easy, so that they can take this existing concept that they're already super familiar with and really clearly see how it's going to map to the Teams capabilities. Mm-hmm. That's a big focus for us. Even within platform, things like how we do Q&A during meetings. So one of our devs just said, we need a better way of doing Q&A during a meeting. So they just built an app for that. And we start seeing some of that, you know, the simpler the tool is, the easier it's going to be for anyone to say, I've got something that doesn't work in Teams. Let me build an app for that. And I think that level of freedom is really, it's really exciting for all of us to see. And I think it helps us both within platform and within the broader Teams team understand how we can make sure that Teams feels like it's a product that's not just one that's built by us, the Teams engineering team. It's built by everyone at Microsoft, and it's built, you know, by our customers as well, as they bring in their own scenarios.
Absolutely.
Cool. Isabella, it seemed like there were quite a few announcements at Build specifically to Teams, with respect to Teams. Like, maybe just talk about a couple of the most impactful ones from your perspective.
We talked a little bit about the extensions. I'm excited about that just because it was part, like my team worked on it. I would say the biggest from a customer perspective, RSC. I think the promise of RSC, the amount of time that people have been waiting for that. So RSC, resource specific consent, having more scope permissions so that you can have an app that, if it doesn't really require group read write all, but it just requires this one scope permission, it can have just that permission, and it can be granted that permission in a much more granular way, so that admins suddenly don't need to worry about apps having, you know, more of these God privileges. I think something like that is so fundamental to really unlocking apps in different organizations, because without that level of more granular permissioning, it's a big challenge in a large enterprise for admins to feel comfortable enabling a lot of applications. So I would say RSC, just from a core fundamentals perspective, I think it's been a big investment that we've been making over a long period of time. And I think it's just been exciting for us to have that first version that we could announce it as a preview. SSO. So again, really improving the user experience so that the login is super streamlined. We announced that we had an SSO preview for tabs, and we're working on SSO for bots. I think anything that we can do that makes it really easy for users to interact with these critical business apps that they need to accomplish their day-to-day tasks, I think all of that really helps not just the user experience, but also helps developers make sure that these people that they're serving can access the content that they need to really quickly. Those are the two that come to mind. And then there's this really brief one about the ability to pop out an app. It was in the video, but the ability to pop out an app into its own window. I think everything that's happening with the ability to have a more modular Teams experience is so exciting for anyone who uses Teams. Like everyone within Teams has just been so excited about the ability to pop out a chat to its own window. I mean, suddenly we're all working, you know, we're all working in a way that means that we don't actually lose context all the time. So all of those investments, I think, are really accruing towards a much bigger user sat. So I was excited to see that personal app pop out.
I love when anything pops out. So it's great. taking full advantage of that feature for sure.
The other day, I think I had something like, I was trying to send everyone codes for a morale event. And so I think I had 25 different chats that I popped out into different windows. And I'll tell you, 25 is definitely a limit that I would not recommend you go for. But
yeah. It's going to be like Outlook. We'll have like 100 emails open now, right?
That's right.
That's what I do with Outlook. And then, you know, inevitably I'll do something where I accidentally close Outlook and I say, sure, shut everything. And then I realize that I've lost all of these open messages that I was supposed to reply to that I, you know, just went away. So I've got to make sure I don't do that with Teams. That's a big lesson for me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I mean, thanks Isabella for coming on. I mean, I think it was really great for you to share, you know, how much work that your team and the app, you know, the dev experiences team is putting in so that, you know, developers and non-developers can use, you know, the low code, no code to enhance the experience for the end user. And I think that's really great to hear, you know, a lot of things that you guys have been putting in and seeing, you know, the fruits of your efforts coming to life and, you know, people starting to utilize them as well. So it's very exciting from our perspective as well. So I'm very happy to see that. And again, thanks for coming on, and thanks to all our listeners for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks.
Cool. See you later.
Bye. Okay.